greetings tonight in the name of Jesus. It's a joy to be back in the house of God to worship together. And we worship a great God. We just heard that. An awesome God that created the universe. But the scripture also tells us he created us fearfully and wonderfully as people. We're intricate human beings that have been, that have a special design by our Creator, and it's awesome. Not just the mountains, but you and I are created awesomely by an awesome God. I appreciate the choirs that are leading us in that second song, Gentle Holy Spirit. I want to continue with the subject of the Holy Spirit tonight and kind of continue in Acts, the results of the Holy Spirit. But there's a verse out of Romans for that song, Gentle Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in this song kind of gives us the idea that it can bring, it can help us and bring calmness to troubled souls, troubled lives, struggles. I mentioned this morning about, at the end of the sermon, about, you know, we face strongholds sometimes. We face challenges. We face hurts. We as humanity can face all different kinds of things. Sometimes it's done intentionally, sometimes it's unintentional. But we face these things in life, church splits, whatever it may be, there's troubles that come our way and can create an unrest in our hearts. But the Holy Spirit wants to bring a calmness, a peace to the heart of the trouble. Romans there, that verse is Romans 14, 17. Listen to this. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Of course, we need those things to stay alive, but or we won't live if we don't have them. But what's important? But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I trust tonight there is a calmness here. There's a joy and maybe a peace in this congregation. I don't know you guys. But as I pondered upon the congregation this evening, my mind went to, and I don't know if this is the proper way to say it, but a beautiful congregation. It seems like you are brethren dwelling in peace. This morning I mentioned about the oil and when Aaron was anointed, and the oil ran down his beard. That's out of Psalms 133. And I want to read that. And just as I want you to adopt this as a congregation, to have the Holy Spirit living within, having a congregation full of peace. You know, if you want the community to wonder what's going on and to wonder what you guys got, it's when men dwell in peace together, in unity. Psalm 133. Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, in peace, controlled by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit dwells. We can't do this on our own. It's because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us where we can have all kinds of different personalities and backgrounds and come together and live in unity and in peace in the church. And it's a powerful witness to the world around us. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. And then it talks about the dew of a mountain, the dew of Hermon, and as a dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Something beautiful, almost something tranquilicant, where there's a refreshingness. There's the dew of an early morning in a dry summer. And when there's a dewy morning, it kind of gives a little bit of life to the grass and the plants that are starving for moisture. There's something refreshing there. It's because of God. It's the Holy Spirit living within us. So I want to encourage you as a congregation, dwell in unity. Continue with what you've got. And the community around you will be blessed. You'll be blessed too, because it's the way the Holy Spirit wants us to live. Turn your Bibles to Zechariah. There's some verses here I love. talks about, they talked about the power of the Holy Spirit anointing, in other words, the Holy Spirit living within us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work in us and through us, changes our lives, makes us vessels that can be used of God. For whatever calling, this morning I said about the calling, you have a specific calling in your life. But here in Zechariah, Zerubbabel was to build the temple. And I believe he faced some opposition. And in verse 6, it says this, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And I love that. Not by might, nor by power. In other words, Zerubbabel, it is not about your might, and it is not about your power, but it is about my spirit. And that's what we all need in our lives. We can't do this on our own. It's not by my might. It's not by my power, but it's by the Spirit of God working within me. Same for you. And God is saying, this is Zerubbabel. I got something before you. I got a mighty work before you. It's not something that you can do on your own, but it's by my Spirit. Look at verse 7. "Who art thou, O Zerubbabel?" No, "Who art thou?" "O Zerubbabel," where did I come out with that? "Who art thou, O great mountain?" In other words, "O great mountain" has the idea of Zerubbabel facing a mountainous experience. You know, he mentioned about getting ready to climb something steep, something hard. In other words, it's a mountain in our life. It's a difficulty. It's something that needs to be overcome. It's something that maybe needs to be conquered, won. And for Zerubbabel here, it was the building of the temple. It was a mountain in his life. "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." In other words, blessing and blessing. It's the work of God. And when we face mountains in our lives, regardless if it's in ministry or if it's personal struggles or strongholds, we need to realize it is not by my power, it is not by my might, but it is by the Spirit of God. And God can take that mountain that we can't seem to walk over or climb up over. It's bigger than us. And God can make it as a plain before us. And sometimes I think when we wrestle with strongholds, when we wrestle with things in our life, this is a result of the Holy Spirit living within us. We wrestle with these things. Sometimes we don't get victory in them because maybe we kind of like them too much and we're not ready for full surrender. And we're never going to have victory then. That's obvious, but that's the way we are sometimes as human. We know we shouldn't be doing it, and this mountain's before us, but we want to hang on to it. But when we truly want to get victory and we surrender it to God, God can take that mountain as a plain before us, not by my power, not by my might, but by the Spirit of God. The power of the Holy Spirit living within us. That's a result of the Holy Spirit living within us. We need to tap into that. I need that in my life. Even as a pastor, right? Probably even more so. Temptations come our way. Satan wants to see us fall, because if he sees a pastor fall, guess what? That really stirs up the congregation. We need to give our mountains to God. Allow the Holy Spirit to make it a plain before us. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. The results of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Actually, 15 and 16 and 17. Jesus talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go to those chapters tonight, but there's some good verses there. It talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. It talks about the Holy Spirit coming and the different works that it's going to be, that the Holy Spirit will do. And in John 16:8, it says this, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." another work of the Holy Spirit. When we're working with people, when we're witnessing, or maybe we're helping a needy neighbor, needy customer, and maybe we have contact with an individual that's full of tattoos, struggling in life. And we almost get to thinking that, how in the world can God ever change this individual? But we need to look at it and say, we plant seeds. God is calling us to witness to these individuals. And God has a place for them also, even though they may have be full of tattoos. I have contact with a man that's got a lot of tattoos, and sometimes he's seeking, he's struggling in life. He's a health issue, young man, late 30s, I don't know, maybe mid 30s, I'm not sure anymore. And I said, when you get feeling better, you can come to church. I don't know if he's going to take me up on it yet or not. But if he wears a short sleeve shirt, he's going to look like the local boy in town. But you know, God can call him. God can forgive him. Am I willing to plant seeds? Am I willing to share the gospel? Or do I look at him and say, he's more? But God can change him. The Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I don't need to bring conviction to the guy. It's not my job. I don't need to change him. God does the changing. All I need to do is be a vessel to speak the word of God. Tell him the truth. Care about his hurts. Care about his needs. Am I okay if he comes to church? Absolutely. I'd love to have him come. He wouldn't be a normal Mennonite, but that's okay. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we shy away from witnessing to people because, well, they're divorced 3 times, and we think about how this is all going to work out. We just need to be faithful to what God asks us to do. And God, the Holy Spirit's there to work out the details. The Holy Spirit's the one that convicts, convinces, calls. What did Paul say? He said, Paul and Apollos? One waters and one plants. That's what we do. We water and plant. God brings the increase. Do you have people in your lives that you should be watering and planting seeds for the kingdom of God? That's why God has you in Wellsboro. There's a lot of needy people around you. Planting. Watering. We don't need to worry about the increase. That's God's responsibility. That's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. Planting and watering. The Holy Spirit will also guide us into all truth. And this is important for our day. Because how often do we hear someone say, you know, the Spirit told me. And when you hear that, you probably should put up some flags. So sometimes it is right. And the Scripture tells us we need to test the spirits. John 16, I have just a couple verses out of John, then we'll go back to Acts. John 16:13 says this, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In other words, when someone says, the Spirit told me, we need to go to Scripture and say, does it line up with the Word of God? Because if it contradicts the Word of God, it's the wrong Spirit. The Holy Spirit never contradicts the Word of God. In John there, 16 there, it says what he heard from the Father, from Jesus. He can't contradict the Scripture.
Spirit does tell us to do things, but it always lines up with the Word of God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. And I like what 1 John chapter 2 talks about in the same subject. And sometimes we have a brother that comes to Union Valley now and grew up in our community and moved away when it came to VBS and maybe even Sunday school some. And has came back here in his late 60s and is a member of worshiping with us. And just the results of seeds and things that were planted years ago. But one morning he had a devotional. And he used this verse 27. But the anointing, correct? Anointing, the Holy Spirit, we talked about that this morning. Anointing means the Holy Spirit, anointing of Christ, Christ, oil, and comes of Christ. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye shall not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, he shall abide in you. In other words, anointing. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and directs us. This individual was married to, the second wife or what, he was married to a lady that was a Jehovah's Witness, I believe it was. And he attended church here for 7 years, but he never joined with her. Never felt right in his spirit. Even though he may not have been living right, the Holy Spirit was still working in his heart. And when he finally surrendered, he came back to what he felt was truth, or the truth of God's Word. And so as the Holy Spirit works in our lives and guides and directs us, and this verse talks about truth. The Holy Spirit don't lead us astray. If something leads us astray, it's the wrong spirit. But in this individual's life, through the difficulties of life and the lack of surrendering, his testimony is the Spirit still was working in his heart, bringing him to where God wanted him. And as you meet people on the street, it's the Holy Spirit that calls them. Repentance, not us. Plant those seeds. God may be working in their hearts. You might not know it. They may be wrestling. They may be searching. They may not even know what they're searching for. But the Holy Spirit is going to try to lead them to truth. Then they have a choice to make. Do they follow it or do they reject it? Same way with us. The Holy Spirit leads us to the truth. We can count on the Holy Spirit. If we question it, if we say, oh, I'm not sure about that, go to the Word of God. And if the Word of God backs it up, it's the Spirit of God. If the Word of God don't back it up, it's not the Spirit of God. Because it says, and it's truth, and it's no lie. It's truth. Holy Spirit is actively involved today in church building. You know, we look at it as an axe. God gave the Holy Spirit, and then the building of the church started. And we talked about this morning there in chapter 2, 3,000 souls. First was 120 received the Spirit, and then there was like 3,000 souls, about 3,000 souls after that chapter 2. And it was a building of the church, but the Holy Spirit came first. But that same Holy Spirit is involved in today's church building. It's been involved, as I said this morning, for 2,000 years. From Acts to today. We're part of that. And it's going to continue. The Holy Spirit is involved in today's church building. Calling sinners to repentance. Guiding the believers. Empowering those that believe. You know, we can't do it on our own. We need that empowerment of the Holy Spirit living within us. It's not just the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, but we also need to do our part. We need to get into the Word of God. As we feed on the Word of God, the scripture tell us that if we face and come before kings, the words will be given us to speak? But why is that? Because we're in the Word of God. And those things go in our minds and hearts, and we may forget about them. But they're there, and the Holy Spirit reveals them to us and brings them back to our minds when we need them. That's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit living within us as we feed on the Word of God, as we feed on the things of God. As you sit in messages like this, you're putting things in here for the Holy Spirit to bring out to your mouth when you need it. If it ain't there, are they going to bring it out for you? He could. But we need to put it in so the Holy Spirit can bring it to us when we need it. We want to look at Acts chapter 3 tonight. It's the miracles that started happening after the coming of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus did all kinds of miracles. He was the Son of God. He could. You know, he could make the lame walk. He could make the blind see. He could make the deaf hear. And it really didn't matter what you had going on. He could take care of it. And some days we feel like we could use some of that. But there was a authentication of the disciples that I think God allowed these certain miracles to come, and the apostles, God performed these miracles through them so that the Jewish people, the people around them, could see that these were men of God and that they were continuing to carry on the work of Jesus. They were not little Christs, as I mentioned this morning. And so God allowed them to perform miracles. God can allow us to perform miracles also. I believe that. I mean, it doesn't seem like we see as many as we do here. But it's the same power. And I believe the performing of miracles and healing and the different things that happened in the early church was for the glory of God, not our own glory. And if a miracle is performed today, or a miracle happens, I should probably put it that way. If a miracle happens and you're involved with that, it's not about you, but it's about Jesus Christ. And it's for His glory. And it's to show the glory of the Father. Even the miracles that the Holy Spirit performs, it's not to bring the Holy Spirit honor, but it's to bring God, Jesus and God the Father, honor and glory. So we have that in Acts chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1. I want to read the first 11 verses here. And we see the power of the Holy Spirit being magnified here through Peter and John. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So they prayed three times a day. These were devout men. I mean, think about that. One was 9 o'clock in the morning, one was 3 in the afternoon, and one was at sunset. Kind of, there are three prayer times. And this was in the afternoon, the ninth hour, the third, at like our 3 o'clock. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. And they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. This is a temple. This is not a city gate, but a temple gate. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give of thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as a lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, and it's called Solomon's greatly wondering.
the power of God being manifested through humanity, through the disciples, through Peter and John. The Spirit of God was upon them, and they met an individual that had a need, and God, or the Holy Spirit, I should say, revealed to them to heal him. And I just say this. There are times that we need to stop and listen to the still small voice. And there could be an opportunity when God says, you know, pray a prayer of healing. We do anointings at times. Sometimes people are healed. Sometimes it just gives them, it gives them a peace about the journey they're on. But it's the power of God working in the lives. And we need to be sensitive and not do things that we shouldn't outside of the speaking of the Holy Spirit, but to stop, to listen. You know, when we get to a railroad station, what do we put a railroad chart? What do we do? Stop, look, and listen. Sometimes we need to do that in life a lot and just stop, look, and listen. Let the Spirit of God speak. And if the Spirit of God lays upon us to pray for somebody for healing, we need to do that. And God can bring a miracle. I believe it. And we might need more of that. Someday we have so many doctors right now, everything we can go to a doctor and get it fixed. Not always. I mean, there's things that people struggle with for life because doctors don't know what to do. But there may come times like the early church where we might not have the Medicare that we have now. And maybe more spirit healing. I don't want you to take that wrong, but the power is there if God wants it to happen. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit changed lives. We see a man here that was lame. It changed his life. The purpose was to bring God honor and glory. The purpose of this miracle was not to magnify Peter and John, but to build the church. Changing lives, affecting lives around them. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our lives being touched and impacted around you and I. We're human and we have sometimes negative things in our lives that we need to deal with. And sometimes I fear that our people being affected because of the negative. We want people to be impacted by what Christ does through us. The Holy Spirit working through us. Is my life changed because of the Spirit dwelling within me? Because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord. And say, you know, we accept Jesus Christ, and that comes to work. A life journey of changing. We're being changed. That's the work of the Holy Spirit living within us. We read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, Burnell, what about this area? You know, we kind of like to shut the Bible, go on and ignore it. That's when we need to say, God, I do need some change. Change me. The Holy Spirit changes lives. My life, others around me. I also seen this passage I mentioned already, devoted men. They were going to prayer. They were going to church. Are you devoted? As a child of God and the Holy Spirit living within us, He wants us to be devoted. He wants us to come to church. He wants us to be involved in the things of God, in the Word of God. Our lives are being changed because of that. You know, if you don't want your life to be changed, close the Bible and lay it on the counter or the dresser and let it there. Ignore it. Your life won't change. But get in it. The Holy Spirit will change your life. God will change your life as you open the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. In John, 1 John there, 22:27 talks about the truth. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and helps us to understand it. The Spirit of God brings it into our hearts and helps us to realize where we need to change in our lives. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Two men empowered by the Spirit, Peter and John. They came in there and they seen the man that couldn't walk. And they didn't have money. You know, they didn't have the few coins that they could pass on or throw into the plate or whatever he had. They didn't have them. And Peter and John are like, Peter's like, you know, I don't have alms. I don't have money. I don't have dollar bills. Like in the U.S. here, let's make it personal. I don't have dollar bills.
$100 bills. You know, I can't help you out. And I don't believe Peter and John had money at that moment. But they had something much greater. And it was Jesus Christ. It was a healing. And I'm sure that man became a Christian because of it. But they stopped. You know, 10% of what? $2.50. Isn't that kind of what the scripture talks about, tithing? You know, sometimes it's easy just, we did our job. Peter and John walked into the church, into the temple. There's the man begging for alms. There you go. My job's done. I'm going into worship. What would happen? What would happen? You know, that's a lot easier. That's a lot easier. Boy, that's simple. It doesn't take involvement. It just takes a little bit of money. Well, we could do 50%, another quarter, or 20%, I mean, another quarter, right? It's not involvement. They stopped. They got involved. Yeah, I get involved sometimes. And it takes energy, it takes work. And sometimes I'm like, not another one. It takes so much energy. It takes work. But you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit wants us to get involved. Peter and John got involved. You know, it's a whole lot easier to throw money at it than to get involved. Work suddenly became huge. The Holy Spirit can walk us through that, right? We're Anabaptists, right? We're Mennonites. We're the quiet of the land. You ever hear that? Somebody ever say that? We're the quiet of the land. Should we be the quiet of the land? In some things we should be. But we also ought to be vocal for Jesus Christ. Verse 8. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. They got involved, and now they got a friend that's behind them or walking with them, and he's leaping and he's praising God. Quiet. What happened here? They got involved, and all of a sudden, now we're really involved. I mean, a crowd's going to show up because this man is making a big show of what happened. How many of us would want to exit? Where's the back door, right? We're Mennonites, right? We don't like crowds. My PTSD might kick in. Hey, I got to get out of here. In verse 11, it talks about he even held on to them. I mean, worse yet, he's hanging on. Man. Who wants to get involved? You know, we listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to get involved, not just throw money at it. There's times when God says, I want you involved. I want you involved with that community man that's been divorced thrice and has another wife or another woman living within him. You know, it's going to take a lot of energy. Maybe it's a husband and wife that are fighting all the time and children are caught in the middle of it and you're a neighbor and you need to be involved. And it's bigger than you. You really don't want the attention. You'd rather, my farm's over here. Let's close the door. We need to get involved. It takes energy. It takes work. And the Holy Spirit will walk us through it. We don't need to see the outcome. Sometimes God just wants us to get involved. I mean, a big attraction. What happened? The crowd showed up. Here's this man that wasn't able to walk, and now he's leaping, he's rejoicing, he's shouting. And, boy, that got the attention of the crowd. Awesome, right? For a lot of us, it'd be, let me out of here. But what an opportunity. You know, we get involved. The Holy Spirit leads us to getting involved. It can open up doors of opportunity.
but it takes work. It takes relying on the Holy Spirit. Seize the moment. Open your Bibles there again to Acts. This morning, a brother after church said about, he said, I like the life of Peter. How he denied Christ. And then when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he preached a powerful message and all but 3,000 souls. Now Peter's in it again. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, changing lives, changing us. Verse 12 of chapter 3, and when Peter saw it, you know, the crowd is there now. There's no hiding. He's taken the opportunity. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. He again now is going to preach a gospel message as he did in chapter 2. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, that though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith is his name, hath made this man strong. It wasn't of Peter and John. It was by the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in God, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath made him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you all of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samaria, and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. We want to go to chapter 4 as we need to wind up the message. But chapter 4 gives us the results of this sermon. And a couple more thousand people were added to the church. Why? It was all the work of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Peter and John. It was them being faithful, listening to the still small voice. As they were coming into that temple and that man asked for alms, was the Spirit of God saying, Peter, John, I want you to heal this man? I think the Spirit of God was communicating with them. They didn't do it on their own. But they were listening to the Spirit of God. And because of that, 2,000 were added to the church. Chapter 4. As they spake unto the people, the priests, and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hold unto the next day. In other words, they were thrown in prison for being faithful to the Lord. For it was now eventide. Verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So we had 3,000 at the end. So we had 120, received the Holy Spirit. Then we had about 3,000 at the end of chapter 2. Now we have another 2,000 being added to that to equal around 5,000. So the church is growing fairly fast. Why? Because of faithful men that were listening to God and allowed the Holy Spirit to work through that.
came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus, not by Peter and John, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Men, tonight, chapter 4 here says, because Peter and John listened to the Holy Spirit, they spent a night in jail. Would you be okay spending a night in jail for 2,000 being added to the church? Would you be okay to spend a night in jail for preaching the message of gospel and one soul coming to Jesus Christ? What happens if you were preaching the gospel and no one responded and you would spend a night in jail for preaching the gospel? Would you be willing to do that? We live in a peaceful country. Right? Our faith may be tested someday. These men, being filled with the Holy Spirit, were willing to preach the gospel and spend a night in jail. Well, Stephen gave his life, right? We want to end with, as I got down to the end of the reading there, it talked about that Peter and John said, this man was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yeshua. The devil needs to flee at the name of Jesus. If we're not having victory, let's call out in the name of Jesus. There's not power in Bernal. There was some power in Peter and John, but it was in the name of Jesus, Yeshua. If you're on the street, if you're witnessing to the guy full of tattoos, the man that has four wives, fifth one or whatever, drunkard, a druggist, you do it in the name of Jesus, because that's where the power is. It's not in Bernal, it's not in you, it's in the name of Jesus. Don't forget that. You're wrestling, you're struggling, you have a mountain before us, not by my might, not by my power, but by what? By the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus. There is power. Shall we kneel for prayer?